Good day and welcome to the quarterly all VR call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Janelle Bracher. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Janelle Bracher. I am the branch chief of the VR team for the Office of Employment Support for Social Security Administration. I'm really excited that everyone's able to join us for the quarterly all VR call today. We were equally as excited to see everyone that attended CSAVR last week and also our in-house training. Just to let you know, everyone that was not able to attend the April training, we will be soliciting for training at headquarters for sometime in the summer, so you can look forward to receiving a gov delivery notice very soon with more information to come. So we do hope that you can attend and bring any questions that you have with you. I would like to turn this call over to Raquel Donaldson to introduce our very special guest that we have with us today. Raquel.
Thank you, Janelle. Good afternoon, everyone. We definitely have a special guest here with us today. I'd like to welcome Laura Mezzanotti. She is from ORDP Data Exchange, and Laura is on the call graciously to talk to us a little bit about the State Verification Exchange System, otherwise known as SVES. Laura, you want to take it away?
Okay. Well, the State Verification System allows for agencies to get Title II and Title 16 information as well as verifications of people's name, date of birth, and Social Security number. Many agencies use this. I'm not really sure what you guys are looking for in this. I'm actually the developer of the system, but I can answer a lot of your questions. So what are the questions you're looking for?
So, Laura, what we're going to do right now is actually open up the lines for the VRs to actually call in with any questions they may have in regards just to SVES, and we'll do that for a few minutes. And once we're done with that, if you wanted to recap anything, you can, or if you wanted to jump off the call, you're more than welcome to do so. So, operator, can you go ahead and open up the lines for questions at this time, please?
Of course. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Eugenia Cox of State of Oregon. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Eugenia. I think the question that a lot of the state VRs have is not necessarily what it is, but how do they get it if they don't currently have it? We actually are part of the Department of Human Services, which does the SNAP food stamp program. And so we are able to log in under a B agreement with the state Department of Human Services and actually get the data. There are some VR agencies that are independent agencies that don't have access currently to the SVES exchange, SVES system, that would like to know how they would get it. Do they have to go through directly to their SVES contact to be able to get the data? Would you be able to tell them who has the A agreement with you in their state? Questions like that, really about access of the data.
Okay. Now, first thing I have a question is, what is a VR? I'm sorry, because these acronyms, everybody uses them for different things. So can you tell me what a VR is?
Vocational rehabilitation. We help people with disabilities go back to work. It's a voluntary state program.
Okay.
Every state has a state vocational rehabilitation program. And we actually use it for multiple reasons. One is that we work with Social Security under the cost reimbursement program, and one of the things that we are required to do is verify Social Security benefits, so we use it for that. And the main reason that we use a state verification exchange system is to verify benefits for what's called presumptive eligibility for our services, which is a federal requirement. So we are federally required to verify benefits if somebody states they're on Social Security. disability.
Okay.
So we use it for multiple reasons.
All right. So you're associated with, like, housing and what have you, that gets
not every SDS state.
Data from us? Not every state?
We are currently housed in the Department of Human Services, but some states are independent. Some states are with Department of Labor. We are a state agency. We are governed by the Department of Education Rehabilitation Services Administration. We are a mandatory participant with programs through Social Security.
Okay.
That's why we're here. That's why we're asking for the BLT.
Right. So these particular agencies that do get this information now, they don't pass the data on to you all?
Well, that's just it. Some of these states, for one, don't know who they go to get the access. They could go to they need to know, for one, who currently has the main access. And usually it's the human services agencies in the state.
Okay.
And if that's the case, is there a contact that they contact to be able to get the access, to be able to do a B agreement, which is what we have, to be able to access the data, and then they get access directly from that agency? Do they have to get the access directly through you as a contact?
Well, I'm going to take a look at the state, because you said you were at the state of Oregon right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Oregon has, we have two systems that come into you. We have, for different agencies, so it looks like we have two agencies. So I'm not really sure what agencies, because I don't have the state's agreement in front of me. Mm-hmm. And Raquel, I think we may have to table this question and answer, because this is going to go above and beyond me, because I thought you were having questions with the actual system and the data that you were getting back. But it looks like in order to get information, we need to look at agreements, and we need to see what we can do to get you all on board with this. So I wish I would have known this ahead of time. And I am going to get, I'm going to get with the ORDP group with them, and they're going to get with the people who have your agreements. And if you could provide me, are you saying, Raquel, all 50 states need this information?
Laura, this is Raquel. There are actually 74 active state VR agencies. Some of them have more than one. For example, where Eugenia is, she's in Oregon General, there's also Oregon Blind. So some states have more than one VR agency. So there are 74 active total right now.
Okay.
And the main question, the questions that I forwarded to you, was in regards to discussing getting access to the system and basically explaining in each state for the VRs who can have access and the process for getting access to the SVES.
So the VR is the volunteer representative?
The VR is the Vocational Rehabilitation Office.
We're required to be in every state.
Okay. All right.
A state agency.
Okay. I'm making notes right now, because I'm going to have to pull more people into this, and I'm going to have to get them brought up to this to speed on this, because you're way past me. Like I said, I'm the developer here. I know a lot of the system. I can help you get logged in with our system and explain the results and everything like that to you. But when it comes to other parts of it, I don't have the ability to do that. So let me get a hold of them. And we will try to set up a meeting with you all early next week. Would that be a possibility?
Yes, and really all of ours is an access.
I'm sorry, Eugenia, I think that question was for me.
Sorry.
Laura, you can reach out to me whenever you're ready to, and then we'll work something up possibly for the to follow up the next All-VR call. But feel free to reach out to me whenever you're ready to.
Okay, and that's you, Raquel. I'm just making sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get a call in to everybody. I wish I could be of more help with this, but I actually need people from policy, and I need people from ORDP to get involved in this one. So we must have had a misunderstanding of what we were looking at in here. And now that I've spoken to you, now I know what you all are looking for, and we need more people in this meeting.
No worries. I appreciate you being on the call, and I definitely apologize to all of the VRs in regards to this. So we will move on to I'm going to throw it back to Janelle.
Thank you, Raquel. And Laura, thank you so much for your time. If you want to set up that meeting, please use Raquel as the point of contact, but go ahead and copy me on that as well.
Okay, I'll certainly do that. Okay, no problem. You'll take it easy, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thank you, Laura.
Okay, no problem. Bye-bye.
Okay, well, another hot topic that everyone's been wondering about, the discontinuation of Form 113. And so we're going to discuss RSA 911 and the RSA 2 form. So our office here at headquarters, we have been working with RSA, David Thiel and Christopher Pohl and their team. We're really trying to have their assistance in deriving the appropriate data elements that we need to pull from the RSA 2 and from the new RSA 911 so that we can give you guys a form very close to what you used to use for cost formula purposes for next year. We are still in the midst of those meetings, so we can't give you any definitive answers on when that form will be available, when we'll have those data elements parsed out, but just know that we're working on it. It's a continual process. We know that this information has to get to you guys before or by September, and we do want to ensure that we are going to deliver on time. So just know that that information will be coming soon. We're working on it, and you're going to have the information you need for your cost formulas by September. Now, we also want to discuss our claims backlog. We are currently dealing with staffing limitations, mostly due to attrition, which is normal, you know, but it's causing some processing delays. So we developed strategies to try to help us mitigate our growing processing delays, which include overtime. It's very limited, but we do have a little bit of overtime, and we're thinking of developing either special cadres to try to process the cases that are pending over 60 days or just coming up with other unique ideas where we can try to get as many old cases processed as quickly as possible. I do, however, want to remind everybody that we've had a long-standing policy for VRs to only reach out to our help desk for claim status purposes when the claim has been pending for over 60 days. And we do want to stress the importance of you all adhering to this communication policy, even during spikes like this where our claims processing time may be taking 60 days or a little longer. But when you reach out to us before we hit that 60-day threshold, then it bottlenecks our system, and it causes us to have to stop processing cases, to look in the system to see where we are, and that takes away, it may only take away a few minutes, it could very well take away a day, depending on the volume of the people that have to manually go in and check the status of each claim. So if you adhere to our policy of only reaching out if the claim reaches over 60 days pending, it's just going to help us to keep the flow going and process as many as we can. But we're working diligently to have this situation mitigated so that we can get ourselves down to a really good processing time. And we'll take calls on this issue later. We'll take questions, I'm sorry, later in the call. So now we turn it over to Katie for a systems update.
Hello. Good afternoon, everyone. I have some good news for you. We had a systems release on March 30th that corrected a systems problem that has been occurring since back in 2015. If you notice that recently you're seeing more errors in your files that you're submitting, it's because we have closed a loop on some logic that was allowing you to open cases when the beneficiary was not in current pay, which is not correct. So we have fixed that logic, and you should see errors saying that your beneficiary, you know, the ticket wasn't assigned because the beneficiary was not in current pay status, and that is a correct error message. So that has been fixed, and I'm glad to be able to tell you that. We've been working for a really long time with systems to get that code fixed. If you notice anything odd, please do continue to send those to the help desk. You know, every time you do text something, there's a chance that, you know, we missed a scenario or, you know, you don't completely understand the message you're getting back because it's the first time you've seen it. Please do reach out to the VR help desk so we can work through it with you. But I do want to let you know that there is a change that you may notice in your file. And we do get questions often about TPR, what the status for TPR is, and when's the next time we're going to start up TPR. As of right now, I don't have any news on that front. We are still working out a business process for that and getting materials together. We will not start any process. We will not start any new TPRs until we have given you all training on how to do things and instructional materials. So right now, the status on TPR remains the same. And I do want to reiterate that if before we do anything, we are going to send you plenty of notification and training and information materials before we start anything new. So that is all I have to report, and I'll give it back to Raquel.
Thank you, Katie. I'm actually going to turn it over to Shada. She just wants to discuss a few things regarding training with you all. Shada Roper.
Good afternoon, everyone. We actually had our two-day training last week, as Janelle mentioned, Thursday and Friday. It was absolutely awesome. So we thank all those who could attend. And as Janelle mentioned before, we are soliciting for this summer. We're requesting that it has to be at least a minimum of four people for us to have this training. So please send any requests that you have to the help desk, or you can email Linda Custis, and that would be linda.custis@ssa.gov, and myself, Shada, Shada, .t.roper, R-O-P-E-R, at ssa.gov. We are asking that you confirm your attendance 2 weeks prior to the scheduled training date, and then we will definitely get back to you with agendas and all kinds of information that you would need upon arrival. So please get those requests to us as soon as possible, if you could, so we could plan accordingly. Summer is a time where we have a wide range of people in and out, especially the trainers. Once again, thank you to all those attended. It was very informative, and we appreciate you coming on this campus and, you know, learning more about our process here at SSA for cost reimbursement. Thank you. Back to Raquel.
Thank you, Shada. I just have a few things to go over with you all. Again, I wanted to apologize, first of all, for the mishap in regards to the SVES call or caller. I promise we'll get that all straightened out and get you all well-informed, get your questions answered in regards to that. I was hoping it was going to be done today, but clearly not. So we will definitely, we're going to table that for now. Anyone that has questions, I will definitely follow up with you all after the call today in regards to that. Hopefully I can get some questions answered for you. If not, then I can get you contact information. So that'll definitely happen today. Just a couple of reminders in regards to reconsiderations. When you're submitting a reconsideration into the portal, please remember to put notes in the comments section just in regards to when you initially submitted the claim, put those dates in there. It definitely helps the technician. It's kind of a red flag because sometimes when you upload your reconsiderations, it doesn't show as a reconsideration. Sometimes it's blank, or sometimes for whatever reason, it'll say initial claim. So if you could just put your remarks in there for those who already do so, thank you, thank you, thank you. I really appreciate it. But it definitely helps. It helps to kind of shave down on some of the errors and being missed. If you know that you've received a 620 denial for untimely filing and this is a reconsideration, most of you already do this, but please feel free to email the VR Help Desk. Just, again, the information you guys provide me is awesome with letting me know, hey, this was submitted on this date initially, and it was denied at 220. This time I'm getting a 620 denial. Raquel, can you check this? So those, I try to get back, follow up with you as soon as possible on, as quick as possible. Just in regards to the BR help desk and what's being emailed, there's not many that are, I won't say guilty of this, but when you have questions, it's much easier and much more sufficient for me if you could put the, all your questions together like on one spreadsheet. There's a lot of you who already do this, so I may just be preaching to the choir for the majority of you. But for those that when you're reviewing your denials, if you email me each time you have a denial, a separate email, that just takes up the VR help desk. And it takes much longer for me to go through and constantly have to stop and open up each individual. So I don't mind if you do it on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, however it's best for you. But it's much easier if you compile all of your questions in one email. Unless it's something that it's just one individual incident that you have a question in regards to, where it might be a Social Security issue or just one particular issue, then again, I don't mind those. But when you have, if you're going through all of your denials and you're emailing one email per denial or per one question per email, that's really time consuming. So if you can compile everything up together for me, that would be greatly appreciated. And then lastly, actually, I think I have two more things. When you're doing your uploads, it is your responsibility as soon as you're you've completed your uploads to check for any type of upload errors. And when I get – sometimes when you email me a month or two after the fact saying that you can't find the claims, the first thing I'll ask you is to first go and check – go back to your upload to see if there's any errors. If you're finding that there's an error and it's a couple of months after the fact – more than likely you will not get a waiver for untimely filing, because that is a part of your responsibility to check that when you're uploading initially. So if you're coming back a month or two later after the fact, you know, as soon as you upload, you should be able to see those claims in your on your pending claim list. If not the same day, then the next day you should be able to go in there and confirm, hey, I uploaded 20 claims and here all 20 are. If you're finding that there's issues less than that 20 or whatever number you're uploading, then the first thing you should be doing is checking your upload errors. We've already discussed this with our branch chief, Janelle Bratcher, and she definitely backs us with this, that we will not be doing waivers for those type of untimely filing claims. So if you guys have any questions in regards to that, then email me at the VR Help Desk. And then lastly, I have a quick email that I was asked to read by Kara Kaplan. She's the branch chief for contracts and grants. And it seems from what I'm reading, this is really for the VREs, but since we're on the call, I'm going to read it to everyone. It just says, please remind the VRs, really VREs, that when they assign a ticket as cost reimbursement and close the case, they cannot reassign that same beneficiary to their VR as an EN ticket case. And then she has included the regulation. It says, unfortunately, the system does not prevent this, but she wanted to remind you of that. Right now, it looks like they're going through all the cases, and they will be recouping the ticket overpayments. If you have any questions in regards to this, please feel free to email the VR Help Desk in regards to it. And that is all that I have. Candace, did you have anything today?
Nope, I don't have anything
yet. Candace doesn't have anything. So at this time, operator, we're going to go ahead and open up the lines for any questions and answers you may have.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our first question from Kyle Beeson of Maryland Division of Rehabilitation Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, I had a question. Hi, how are you?
Good.
I had a question about SVES, actually. It had to do with not seeing the correct benefits information on there. I reference first the portal, the ticket portal, and I see that there's a ticket assignable, but there's no benefits showing in SVES, and that was my question I had earlier.
Right, and I'm sorry that Laura has left the call. So what I am going to do is get contact information for all of you to ask these questions if these questions cannot wait until the next all-VR call, where hopefully Laura and other people from her team will be on that call. So I will get contact information and send it out to you hopefully today, if not today, tomorrow. So if anyone else, I apologize, Kyle, if anyone else has any questions in regards to SVES, please email the help desk just to let me know you'd like contact information, because at this moment I don't have it, and we're just going to table any questions in regards to that.
If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. We will now take our next question from Anne Banton of the Department for the Blind and Vision Impaired. Please go ahead.
I had a question about SEES. Raquel, I emailed you. I don't need to go into it on here. Emailed you. It was a simple question. I just sent you an email.
Okay, I will respond to you when I'm done here. Thanks, Anne.
Yeah, it's no hurry. It's just, you know, it's simple, so I'm good. Bye.
Okay, no problem.
We will now take our next question from Amadou Diallo. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Amadou Diallo from Ohio. I'm new, so maybe my question may have already been answered. I'm here with Drew Cochran from Ohio. Question that I have is, when we submit a claim and we have a cost estimate that we anticipate would be the reimbursement, why is it different than the amount that would be that sent to us as paid? Or is there a way we can find out how to determine the true cost of reimbursement?
Hi, is this a question that Drew has as well?
Yes.
Or is it? So, Drew, when you receive your cost reimbursement, you're not sure why the amount is lower than the amount that you submit?
Yes.
Okay. The first thing you should be doing is reviewing your notice of determination. When you get that notice, there is the net payment period. So all of your direct cost would need to fall within that net payment period. If your net payment period is from January 2010 to October 2018, all of your direct costs would have to fall within that period. And if it does not, then you don't get reimbursed for it. Also with that, you have your gross payment period as well. So if there is a specific claim that you have a question in regards to, you may have on your claim, let's say that the beneficiary came in, started with the VR, the enter date was January 2012. However, the beneficiary didn't start receiving benefits until 2015. Anything before the point where the beneficiary is receiving benefits, if they're not in current pay and they're not receiving benefits, you will not get paid on that. So that's something else that you would have to look into.
Okay.
If there is a specific click. Did someone have something to say?
I'm sorry, Raquel, I'll wait till you're done.
If there is a specific claim that you're looking at where you requested the amount and the amount that you received back is significantly lower, and from reviewing your notice of determination you can't figure out why, please feel free to email the VR help desk.
Okay.
In regards. Janelle,
is there a way to pull that information to determine how that's calculated?
Yes, in the VR provider handbook.
Okay.
Yes, and I think, Raquel, thank you so much for that explanation. It was great. I was going to suggest to both of you that when we send out the solicitation for you guys to attend the next two-day training, you may find it very beneficial, because all of that information about explaining the net payment period, the gross period, and helping you to determine what's payable, with an allowable payment versus what's not. You know, you'll get all of that information if you attend the training. So that's
okay.
Something you may want to think about.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Eugenia Cox of the State of Oregon. Please go ahead.
Hi, a question on the RSA 911 for the new cost formula. When you update the worksheet for the cost formula, will you let me know what the changes were and the updates were so that I can redo the Excel spreadsheet that you've got, everybody's using right now?
Yeah, Eugenia, I'll be updating both, and once we get that information, and I'll send you a copy.
Okay. And do we have an update on the quarterly benefits earnings report, the QBER?
Well, just to let you guys know that we are working on it. I think Rob mentioned this at the state director's meeting, so it was mentioned on that level that we will be trying our best to roll it out as something new called Versa. And we briefly talked about it during CSABR as well. We don't have much to offer at this moment. We're still in the development phases, but something will be coming soon. Thank you.
Okay, and on the reconsiderations, Raquel, when we put it in the comment section that it is a reconsideration, and we don't have a SSA reference number because it's older than when we would submit claims on the portal, it does show up as a reconsideration, but then it's also denied for untimely filing, and we have to go back and inquire again. Is there a reason, even though we do put an explanation in the comment that it is accepting it as a reconsideration, that they're not looking at the data? Is it because it doesn't have an SSA reference number?
No, the SSA reference number has nothing to do with it. It could honestly, from the technicians, be an oversight, which is why I ask you all, if and when that happens to you, to email it to me, and then you normally will get the corrected information.
Okay. And then my last question is on the thing you mentioned on the VREN. So my question is, if we do cost reimbursement on somebody back in 2003, and then we are a VREN, and we come back in 2019, and we close that person originally unsuccessfully, and we've never been paid on that individual, we can't come back and assign the ticket? Under ticket to work?
That I don't know, Eugenia. That's a great question. If you could email that to the help desk so I can forward that over to Kara Kaplan and her team.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Because we know if it has been paid successfully.
Katie, are you on the line?
Yeah, I was about to jump in. I mean, I believe Raquel has the actual regulation in front of her, but it is in the regulations. She has the Do you have, like, the bottom sentence, Raquel? Did Kara send you the actual snippet?
I think I do. It says, You also may not assign your ticket to a state VR agency if that VR agency previously served you and elected the VR cost reimbursement option and closed your case. Is that the statement, Katie?
Yep, that's the statement. So it has nothing to do with whether your case closure was successful or unsuccessful. You have previously elected cost reimbursement and opened and closed the case. You are not allowed to then assign the case as a ticket under the EN ticket payment option. So we are going to go through and we are going to look at people's cases and we are going to notify you of the cases we have identified that have been incorrectly assigned. And we're going to do that for all of our,
That's huge. That's probably all the cases we've assigned.
Well, that's
I'll pull the regulations myself because I've gone over them many, many, many times. Because I know you can originally assign a ticket under ticket to work and then change it back to cost reimbursement.
Yes, but you're talking about reverse. Well, I'm just saying, though, that the instance you're talking about, Eugenia, is where you have the option for the first 90 days. You can assign a ticket and, like, under one payment type and then change it to another. Mm-hmm. You have 90 days to choose. But once you choose it, you can't then come back in, like say, I'll give you an example, you had a ticket open from 2008 to 2010, and then you want to come back in 2012, in 2010.
Well, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
I understand what you're saying, and we've had this discussion for many, many years now. So I'll talk to you offline about it, and we can go over it, but I have all the documentation from all the previous discussions on this, so.
And I will let you know you will be getting emails from us with the cases that need to be corrected.
And this is Janelle. I don't want to, you know, us to keep going back and forth, but I do want to reiterate to everyone else, there has not been a change. This regulation language is still the same, so I don't want any confusion with anyone else, but we'll definitely take this offline.
There are no further questions in the queue.
And if we have no further questions, we just want to thank everyone for their time. Right now, the third quarter all-BR call stands at Tuesday, July 9th, 2019 at 3 p.m. If anything changes with that, we will definitely let you all know ahead of time. Thank you again for everyone's time. And again, I do apologize for the mishap with SBES. We'll get that straight for you.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.